Hawkeye, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It's a minute past the hour on this, the 10th day of January, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to pick out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, where you will be immediately greeted by Anatole, Steve from Georgia Stan, VT Blom, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is, all of whom are eagerly awaiting your participation, should you so choose. Yes, indeed. Absolutely. It's free. It's easy. And it's a heck of a lot of fun. It is, in fact, a multimedia madcap extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours. This program is live every Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and, well, what better day to cover the confirmation hearings of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III than today, Titanic Tuesday, because there was some Titanic intellect on display in the nation's capital this very morning and afternoon. We'll talk about that some, I'm sure. I have no doubt of it, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about a lot of other things, too, because there's a lot of other stuff out there that deserves our attention, you know, besides a mush-mouthed, stealth Klansman trying to get himself confirmed to be the chief law enforcement of the United States as of January the 20th. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, things are, well, we'll get there. So this is a listener-supported program. That's how we do it. That's how the magic happens. That's how we keep independent progressive broadcasting going. We pulled up a wee tiny bit short last night by about $155 by the end of the program. We try to raise $200 an evening. You all know that. But, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But that's where our subscribers come in. And thank you very kindly to Judy in Rochester. Thanks to Don in Newcastle. Thanks to Reggie in Arkansas. Thank you very kindly to Randy in Ohio. And to Jay Cruzen, of course, in the wilds of South Florida. Thanks to Jay in Kalamazoo. And thanks to our buddy Jim in Louisiana Stan, as well as our buddy Snork. Between them and Angelica, who helped out earlier in the day, I'm proud to announce that $155 deficit was significantly reduced. In fact, it was knocked down to the point that, we've only got $250 to raise this evening, instead of, you know, 355, which makes things considerably, hopefully, simpler. Now, on top of that, I can tell you that we can knock it down even further because I had a note earlier this afternoon, courtesy of our good friend Tom out in the Bay Area. And Tom put forward a $50 not George Soros challenge. I got a note from Tom telling me, hey, I'm not George, but I'm putting it in the mail. So there's a $50 challenge from Tom to match his, and we'll all, it's kind of like that, it's kind of like the opposite of that scene in Monty Python's Life of Brian, when the centurion walks up during the crucifixion and says, who's Brian? And everybody, well, I'm Brian. And the guy, I'm Brian. I'm Brian, and so's my wife. Well, it's the opposite of that. Tom's not George Soros, and the next, and we've got a whole bunch of not George Soros. So hopefully there will be a $50 answer to Tom's challenge of somebody saying, hey, I'm not George Soros either. Because, you know, it's just too much to expect George Soros to support progressive media. Yeah, oh well. So the $50 not George Soros challenge is on the table. And as you can tell, subscribers play a big role in helping to make sure that we don't fall into deep, deep, dark holes that require me to, you know, use the reverb from down in the hole. So thanks to all of our subscribers. If you'd like to become one, you're mighty welcome so to do. And you will find it's quite easy. Just go to the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com, click on that, and there's a PayPal interface there. And there's a box that says, click this if you want to make this a recurring monthly donation. You do that, you put in however much money you want it to be, and zzz, and away, and things, you help make things a little less stressful in trying to keep this frayed shoestring from finally snapping. We're getting along, but it ain't easy. So, if you want to help, please do, because that's when you nobody gets sold anything here, and there's no charges and there's no fee for access. When you support the horn, you support the ability of everybody who listens to the horn to do that, and it's all strictly on a volunteer basis. Okay. It is Titanic Tuesday. And oh, the mailing address. Got to do the mailing address because I got to put that up on the website yet. There are some tweaks being made to the website, and I want to thank John Fox very kindly for that. Hopefully things will be changing. Well, I mean, you'll see a little more activity over at the website in coming weeks once the tweaks are done. But the mailing address, if you, like Tom, would like to send it through the United States Postal Service, is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not made payable to Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid never sees it. Okie doke. Okie doke. So that like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday. We celebrate Titanic intellect on Titanic Tuesday, based on something that our buddy Jim over in Beckley heard many, many years ago, when a caller to the right-wing monotone radio show said, Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I see them for myself. But I'm a-telling you, we ain't nowhere near the beach and never have been. Explanations of shallow inland seas millions and millions of years ago being no. The simple answer as propounded by America's at the time greatest living monotone were, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Titanic plates. Mm-hmm. Still no word on the movement of the little Titanic fish grilling rack, you know, that you put over and you turn it and you turn it, and that way you don't ruin your big table at the on the Titanic. Yeah. So that's what Titanic Tuesday is all about. Full steam ahead into that there iceberg. We wouldn't want to just rub up against it. No, let's do some real damage. And you can always find that. You can always find that anytime you start digging around in amongst the cogitation of the right wing. Randy, you're right. We're going to reactivate or try to fix the embedded players, the stream players on the website. That's one of those priorities, and I will make sure and mention it to John. Thanks for the reminder, Randy. Probably ought to start with some breaking news. It happened just about an hour ago, maybe less. The jury in Charleston, South Carolina, has decided to horizontally crucify Dylann Roof. And I imagine that you know, in your name, in my name, in our name, we're going to rectify 9 murders by committing 1 more in your name and in my name. Hey, cool, groovy, huh? No, I'm opposed to the death penalty. Although, in instances like this, I can understand people who say, "Well, hell, I think we ought to just kill his sorry ass." Because when we look to, say, more civilized nations, like, say, Norway, it doesn't seem to be doing them a lot of good to have the mass-murdering neo-Nazi Anders Breivik taking up space. Anders Breivik is a very unhappy inmate in one of the most humane penal systems in the entire world. Anders Breivik, who murdered some 77 people because he's a neo-Nazi, I'm sure Richard Spencer just thinks the world of him, as well as probably millions of other Trump voters. Anders Breivik is unhappy with the conditions of his incarceration. Now, I thought it rather interesting that the questions that the death penalty jury were asked to answer, I mean, these are kind of loaded questions. The death penalty jury in the Dylann Roof case were asked to answer a question: could Dylann Roof be reasonably expected to be safely incarcerated for the rest of his natural born days without causing trouble among the other inmates in the general population, Gen Pop? Which they answered, no. I mean, it's more trouble than it's worth to incarcerate him. So over in Norway, entering the courtroom in a black suit and tie, and with a nice year old hipster beard that he's grown while in the Norwegian penal system, 37-year-old Anders Breivik, at the start of the proceedings, of course, did what any good neo-Nazi does and delivered a stiff-armed salute to the bench. Mm-hmm. What's he upset about? Well, he's upset because he's pretty much kept in isolation. He gets 22, he's by himself for 22, 23 hours a day in a three-room cell. He's got a bedroom. He's got a workout room. And, like, an entertainment room. this Thursday, Anders Breivik will get to address the court and tell them how inhumane his treatment is. He also claims that he's being subjected to censorship in prison because he can't send letters out encouraging other neo-Nazis to do what he did. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, he's only in prison for 21 years. He's already served 5 of it. The sentence can be extended at the end of 21 years, but 21 years is what he's getting. And he's unhappy. He says his right to a private life is being violated at the same time that he complains about spending 22 hours a day, you know, in private. Yep, he gets the training room, he gets television, he gets newspapers. And a lower court actually held that he is wrongly kept in a locked world for 22 to 23 hours a day. Mm-hmm. The prosecutors, including Norwegian Attorney General Fredrik Sjerstad, said there's no human rights violation. He's not broken down. He's not expressed remorse. He's proud of what he's done. Namely, you know, killing 8 people with a car bomb and then mowing down 69 others, many of whom were teenagers at a youth camp on an island in the middle of summer, trying to enjoy their young lives. Mm-hmm. Just kind of goes to show that there's a big difference in the wider world. Obviously, Dylann Roof would get nothing resembling the kid gloves treatment that Anders Breivik is getting in Norway. And now he's not. No, now we're just going to kill his ass. You know, in your name, in my name, in our name, and we'll all feel so much better, won't we? As Asa questions, gee, I wonder how the dead children feel about their solitary grave arrangements there in Norway. Ah, you know, Asa, they needed to die so that there could be racial purity in the world. Got to thinking about that the other day, racial purity. Oh, did I? Yeah, I did the Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid thing. The neo-Nazis, Nazis, Klansmen, whatever, the Richard Spencers and the alt-white and all of that silly horse shit, they want a safe space for white people. Huh. Really? Well, now, that's a little curious. Because, you know, they're all worried about the miscegenation of the races and muddying up our good white genes. I live in Appalachia. Now, I want to be very clear about this. I'm part of this. Not a neo-Nazi or anything, or a Klansman. But, I mean, I'm part of living Appalachian history. Which, as it turns out, is kind of a long-running genetic experiment in white supremacy. My German ancestors got here, early 1700s. About the same time my Scottish ancestors, Scots-Irish, you know, Scotland to Ulster to here. And a little bit later, the Scottish came along, and somewhere along the way, in the 17th century, the English started showing up. And so, over the course of 300 years or so. 300, let's see, 20. Yep, 300 years or so. Coming up on it. white folks in Appalachia have been breeding Germans with English, English with Irish, Irish with Scottish, Scottish with Germans. And so that would be your white racial purity that your white supremacists are always going on about. You know what that got us? Hillbillies. Mm-hmm. Yep. The demographic that is the most put upon, most joked about for their ignorance and stupidity and lack of education is exactly what you get if you do what the white supremacists want and make sure that you've got good white people constantly breeding amongst themselves. Yeah? Yeah. So just, you know, a little food for thought. Because to paraphrase Yosemite Sam, Nazis is so stupid. Oh, well, that's just taunting, okay? In the chat room, the topic has been changed to, I don't think Bob wants to talk about Clemson. Well, I'm trying not to piss off the people who hate sports. But I have to say that that was one of the most, that was one of the best college football games I've ever watched, without a doubt. It had everything. Except, you know, the Crimson Tide of Alatrumpa beating the Tigers of Trumpson. That part it didn't have. It was close, but Alabama went down and scored too fast. And I've seen that as a Mountaineer fan. I've seen that happen a million times. They left 2 minutes on the clock for a Heisman-level quarterback to march his team down the field, which he did, and won in the final seconds of the game. It was a damn good football game, though. There's no getting around it. And I don't think it's possible to say that, I mean, no excuses to be made, but Crimson Tide play calling seemed a little bit sketchy. All those plays thrown over to the short side of the field and run to the short side of the field and it running right into the teeth of that that neck-bearded hipster bullwear guy. But it was a monumentally enjoyable game. And, of course, the head coach of Clemson, I'm sorry, Trumpson, from Trumpson, South Trumpalina, Dabo Swinney, is a graduate of the University of Alabama. So there you go. I think that pretty well covers it, unless y'all want to talk something else about it. So, meh. Meh for your chat room topic. Meh. Take that. Yeah. Good group in the chat room this evening. I mentioned earlier that others have wandered in. If you come on by, you'll run into Anatole and David, the Vermont one, and Don from Central PA, and Hoghead, and Laborman, and R.L. Smith, and Snidely, and Steve from Georgia, Stan, and Stockton, Larry, and Urban Prospector, and V.T. Blom, and Will in Chicago. This ought to be a rollicking good conversation this evening, both here and in chat. Marty notes, it's been theorized that if Titanic had run smack into the iceberg, a lot of people would have died. Sideswiping the berg is what killed it. P.S. Dylan Roof is getting off easy. Getting off easy? Nail him up, I say! Nail some sense into him! They only turned me right side up last week. Mm-hmm. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, why worry? That little prick will outlive us both, talking about Dylan Roof. Because there will be, of course, a lengthy string of appeals, most likely. Although, Timothy McVeigh's appeal process didn't seem to take that too terribly long. Back during the Clinton administration, they seemed to horizontally crucify his ass pretty quick. James asked the question with regard to Dylann Roof. Is it an execution or a case of sweeping him under the rug? They'd like to do this with as little fanfare as possible so that we can continue the fiction of a tranquil, semi-integrated South. Nothing to see here. Move along now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may have a better point even than you know, James. I think that's very well taken. Oh, and an update. I learned a little bit today. I've been kind of antsy and nervous about all that hardware on the Russian border in the form of Operation Atlantic Resolve. Over at Esquire.com on Charlie Pierce's politics blog, there was a post today by retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bateman, who explained a little bit of the history behind these sorts of things. These sorts of exercises have been going on as a way of reminding back then the Soviets and now the authoritarian dictatorial Russians, you know, not to be getting any designs on countries that didn't want them there. And apparently it started out with something called Reforger, which was a shortened form of Return of Forces to Germany. And it's gone on ever since. So this isn't a new thing. This is part of an ongoing process. So maybe we can all breathe a little easier, I hope. Maybe, kind of, a little bit. But just in the way of an update. But still, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And the in point of fact, the number of forces that we have involved in this are significantly lower than, during the bad old days of the Cold War. So, just to sort of put a little perspective on that. What else? Well, a lot of stuff. I wanted to update you on a couple of issues. This is not Titanic. This is more in the way of news that. Well, let's do this first. Wait, because this is Titanic. Remember when everybody had a hissy over the brand new Congress with its brand new House of Representatives trying to gut the Office of Congressional Ethics? Well, it turns out they got away with other stuff while we weren't watching. Yeah, they always do. I mean, today we've got the Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions, the TUD hearings, and lo and behold, along comes the death penalty verdict on Dylann Roof, so we'll all forget what an old, unreconstructed Klansman Jeff Sessions is, right? Because the can't handle more than one big story at a time. Johnny on the spot for profit media will immediately have to shift over to talking about Dylann Roof for the next 15 or 20 days, or at least 10 days. 10 days remain. 10 days remain until an arguably syphilitic septuagenarian madman takes over the presidency of the United States. I know, it just sounds creepier with every passing day. And I'm still trying to figure out, I don't know, Inauguration Day, that'll be a Friday. By the way, this Friday's Friday the 13th, but we're not superstitious, are we? I have a feeling Friday the 20th is going to be far shittier. But Friday the 20th, have you guys given any thought to what your poison's going to be that day? Cheap liquor, expensive liquor? Maybe some really bad beer, maybe some natty ice or natural light or something equally vile, something that'll make you, like, the next time you feel awful, you'll look up and say, Jesus Christ, I haven't felt this bad since the day Donald Trump was inaugurated, and sort of memorialize it in history that way. Urban Prospector says Ice House. That's pretty vile. Do they still make Keystone? That was some nasty stuff. Okie doke. David, the Vermont one, says, inauguration day for me will be spent with a bottle of the good stuff. Whistle Pig Rye Whiskey, straight from the Green Mountains. Whistle Pig. I haven't heard that term in a while. I thought that was a Pennsylvania term for a groundhog. Labor man suggesting bad acid trip, Bob. Can you actually go out and say, listen, I need some really terrible acid. Enough, you know, maybe a hit or two with enough strychnine in it to make my legs just feel stiff as a board. Urban Prospector offering Schlitz. That may be too high class for Donald Trump's inauguration. God, I saw something somewhere along the way. I think the cheapest cocktail in that revolting monument to excess that used to be the old post office building in one of the crummy restaurants that's been opened there, the cheapest cocktail is $34. I mean, that's like your Jack and Coke. Suckers! Steve in New York says, January 20th, why not go out with a bang with some superb Russian Imperial Stout for tomorrow we die? Oh, that's way too symbolic, Steve. And way too, and probably way too good as beer goes. But anyway, what I was getting at, is that any time we think we've caught these no-good swine up to something, there's always something else they've been up to behind that we didn't catch. Oops. Well, the House has quietly gone about the business of modifying a rule last week that allows the members of the House of Representatives, and who knew you could do this? Who knew you could even make a rule that says it's okay to do this? The House of Representatives declared by rule that members of the House can now keep their own personal records hidden from investigators looking into either ethical or criminal violations. No, that's real. Let's say that the FBI comes marching into Representative Billy Bob Dickface's office there from the 92nd District of South Carolina, and they say, "Why, Representative Dickface? No, this is not the Holman Rule. This is something entirely different." Representative Dickface, we think you've been spending your campaign funds. No, wait, the FBI doesn't talk that way, do they? Representative Dickface, the FBI is investigating an allegation that you've been using your campaign funds to keep a prostitute in a pit. We'd like to go through your records. Well, this rule now allows Representative Dickface to go, no, y'all can't, ain't gonna let you. I got a rule right here that says I ain't got it. This is real. Because of this rule change, a member of the House of Representatives, Republican or Democrat, is the sole owner and controller and custodian of any records that he or she has created. Doesn't matter if it has anything to do with the public good, the public weal, the public's business. Also doesn't matter if it's a record of an overt, blatant criminal act. We at the FBI would like to see your... No, I ain't gonna let you. And I ain't got to, neither. Because I am a member of the House of Representatives. The language of the regulation reads as follows. Records created, generated, or received by the congressional office of a member are exclusively the personal property of the individual member, and such member has control over such records. And it just went and slipped right through, like it just like it was greased on rails. I wish I was kidding. Sheila Krumholtz of the Center for Responsive Politics, speaking to the Fiscal Times yesterday, said, why on earth would Congress create new barriers to investigation and subpoenas of a member's spending records? This only benefits the incumbent politicians who pass this rule and those who would flout it, not the system, and certainly not the public. And thus, there is, you know, no oversight. It didn't go entirely without notice because Democratic Representative Carol Shea Porter of New Hampshire said House Republicans were moving to try to create far less transparency. And as the Huffington Post story I'm looking at notes, at present, Representative Duncan Hunter, of course, a Republican from, what, like Orange County, California or something, somewhere in California, probably Southern California. I don't know, maybe Northern California, okay? Can we just agree on California? The Office of Congressional Ethics is a mite perturbed that he spent tens of thousands of dollars of campaign money on things like his kids' private school tuition, trips to Disneyland, the occasional great ostentatious hunk of jewelry, video games, sporting goods, and yes, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune, a $600 plane ticket for his, hockey puck, really. Get the hockey puck. A $600 plane ticket for his pet rabbit. I couldn't make that up. It's just a little bunny. Oh, yeah. It's got sharp, nasty teeth. That's two Monty Python references this evening. Mm-hmm. Golly. If only Anthony Weiner had had something like that. Maybe James Comey had, but well, I mean. Now, I'm sure this rule will operate, as so many do, within the realm of IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. No, really. A plane ticket. For a rabbit. But they're better than us. And you know, what do we plebs have any business questioning $600 to fly a rabbit across the country or some such? Or maybe take it to... Maybe the jewelry was for the rabbit. Maybe... Hell. Maybe the... sporting goods were for the rabbit. I am in love with a rabbit. Okay, this is straight out of a Woody Allen movie now. Steve in New York pointing out the rabbit was his mistress, Bunny. Yeah, okay. As to what we'll be drinking on January 20th, Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve in China, says, beer here, German, of course. I don't know of any decent Russian brand. The new president surely does. No, he doesn't. He's not a beer guy, Steve, and don't call me Shirley. Oh, Friday the 13th. Yes, yes, yes. Ron and Raleigh points out, Templars weren't superstitious either. Friday the 13th proved to be real bad luck for the Templars, since the king killed all their asses to steal the alleged fortune they brought back from the Crusades. How about passage of the Rains Act? These are some crafty sumbitches. They know how to lie, cheat, and steal, as well as pass laws that undermine the separation of powers. Oh, yes. Steve from Georgia. Stoli vodka? Nah, we had the vodka conversation. Luke Sosova or nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Well, at least Gerald joins me in being a little bit stunned. $600 to fly a rabbit on an airplane? You're fucking kidding me, right? No. Couldn't you just put the fucker in your pocket? Or maybe hold it on your lap, for fuck's sake? No. No, they actually, it's probably in a cage in a hold. I mean, we flew a dog once. No, I'm not talking about what Willard Romney did when he strapped that poor Irish setter to the roof of the family truckster as they went on vacation from Massachusetts to Vermont or something. Maybe Canada. What was that dog's name? It wasn't Rafalka, that's the horse. Rufus, or poor thing just shit its brains out the whole trip out of nothing but pure terror. Scott and Punky with an addendum. Duncan Hunter is the Republican U.S. representative in the 50th District of California. It's in north and western San Diego County. And then adds, wait a minute. Are we going to see the rabbits, George? Yeah, think about the rabbits, Duncan. Hunter, think about the rabbits. Ron and Raleigh, you guys are on tonight. Wait a minute. Isn't that a violation of the Mann Act, transporting a rabbit across state lines for immoral purposes? Porpoises? That's another one of those moments when you just want to go door knocking in a congressional district and get, are you one of the people that sent Duncan Hunter, the guy with the rabbit, $600 on a plane? I am mother tired of these mother rabbits on this plane. Somehow it just doesn't quite work out the same, does it? No. Oh, how about a little hometown news? And by hometown, I mean here in West Trump, Virginia. Oh, wait a minute. Asa says, Russian standard vodka. That's probably going to be mandated from now on. Might as well get used to it. I'll quit drinking. I mean, I just... Sorry, not a vodka guy. Not, yeah. No, hometown news from here in West Trump, Virginia. Here's a Huntington High School teacher who has been briefly suspended from her job because of economic anxiety. Suspended with pay, of course. In other words, she got a paid vacation from the little brutes for a few days. Turns out that she has been discovered to have been sending out a whole bunch of nasty racist tweets since like 2015. We're talking here about Mary Durstein, who kept a Twitter account, Pigpen63. This past weekend, Cabell County education officials were made aware of a whole slew of tweets from Mary Durstein. When students started sending screenshots of them to show what a filthy, disgusting racist she is. The superintendent of schools of Campbell County is Bill Smith. And he jumped right out there and said, the tweets that you've seen, those are things that we do not adhere to. We believe that all children are welcome here, all adults as well, in Campbell County schools. We want to make sure that is clear to our students and clear to the employees that work for us. Like I said, they go back as far as like July 18th, 2015. Ms. Durstein tweeted, hashtag cashin' in, hashtag wake up America, hashtag view crew. Who cares if we offend Muslims? At least they keep their heads on tact. They're the enemy. Heads on tact. I'm guessing Ms. Durstein is not an English teacher. But on the other hand, 5 days ago, she responded to the hissy over the anger, fury, white hot rage, and I do mean white, over the really nasty bad people who beat up the disabled white boy and did it all while, you know, recording it until he finally escaped and was found wandering dazed and confused on the streets. So Ms. Durstein saw a tweet that said, can you imagine how many riots we would have had around the country if the terrorists were white? And that tweet, of course, had a photo in it of the four black young people, two guys, two women, two females. And the caption said, imagine if these were four white people torturing a special needs black kid. Well, Campbell County Huntington High educator of our children, Ms. Durstein, said, this could have been Obama's children. Of course, manifesting white pout rage over the time when Barack Obama said that Trayvon Martin could have been his son. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she also had tweets that called for the deportation of Muslims. And she had tweets sliming people who supported Black Lives Matter. Yeah. I'm sure she's just suffering from economic anxiety. Right? Yeah. Sure. Because of course she's not a racist. Yeah, she's just boiling over with hate. The director of communications with the Campbell County Schools is Jed Flowers. No, really, Jed. Jed said, one of these days I got to have a long talk with Ms. Durstein. No, Jed actually said, the students did the right thing by reaching out to us and letting us know we want the message to our students to be that all kinds are welcome at Campbell County Schools. We embrace diversity. Inclusion is essential to everything that we do. They did the right thing. And so did Campbell County Schools by giving her a paid vacation for a few days so that she could reflect upon the wrongness of her actions and come back and say, I promise I will try never to get caught showing what a racist I am again. there was a photo of a Muslim family that Anthrax Coulter had put up on Twitter that she retweeted, including the words, deport them. Mm-hmm. Bill Smith said, we expect the same conduct on social media that we do in the classroom. We don't want to deny teachers the access they can have to the internet or Facebook and all the other stuff they want to have, but they need to be cognizant of who they are speaking to. And when what they say interferes with the educational process, it becomes a problem. But not a big enough problem to fire their asses and take away their state-sponsored payday. You go home now, put your feet up, relax, and cash the check, and just remember, don't get caught doing it again. Aight. She will be having a closed hearing with the superintendent, and she is lawyering up. Mm-hmm. Don't expect anything particularly bad to happen to her. Steve in New York pointing out, let me guess, she's sorry if anyone was offended, right? No, thus far she hasn't said anything, especially not, I'm sorry. Steve also wondering, what's the next part, that she claims that she's being persecuted for being a Christian? I would not bet against you in that that instance. No, I would not. Marty says, well, no doubt she's a member of the teachers' union, which she probably resents. Oh, yeah, she hates unions until, well, she needs hers. And this is, I don't know if she's AFT or WVEA, but this is one of those moments when you hope that her union rep walks in and says, hey, this is indefensible. Do with her what you will. Oops. Probably won't happen. As far as the dummying up of the congressional rules, Robert in Australia says, shocked, I say, that a politician would use public money on their own personal pleasure, except in the past, numerous state and federal pollies here in Oz have been caught doing research trips to Fiji, and they only took their whole family along so they wouldn't get lonely, and this was after the internet made such personal visits redundant. And just this week, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop of the Liberal Party, which I remind you is actually the Conservative Party everywhere else in the world, spent $2,716 of taxpayers' money to attend the Portsea Polo Match. The minister has claimed it was for official ministerial business. It will probably result in a day or two of debate in Parliament. Health Minister Susan Ley has had to resign after being caught using taxpayer dollars to fly numerous times to the Gold Coast south of Brisbane Old, looking for a house to buy. Investigation's underway. Yes, the fun and games continue in Australia's federal parliament. At least all the investigations into all this misbehavior stops them from doing any damage to the country in the meantime. Yeah. And now I suppose we have to get to what everybody else probably was talking about as the lead story of the day. I'm talking, of course, about Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. Who was about, I've seen some smarmy in congressional, Senate confirmation hearings, but by God, I mean, Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, done earned himself smarmy laurels with bullshit clusters. Apparently, everything that anybody ever said about him that he didn't like wasn't true, and it was a scurrilously unfair thing to say about a wonderful person like me. Oh, yes. Oh. One of the more precious and charming moments of the hearing today happened when Senator Lindsey Graham slipped out from under the fainting couch down at the old ancestral estates of Smoldering Chode there in South Trumpalina. And tried very desperately to rehabilitate Paul Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Hood by talking about how hard it is. Merciful goodness, oh sakes alive, my stars and goddess. Oh, help me, John. It's so desperately difficult to be a white man in the South. Goodness me. I know it. I wish I was kidding.
Yeah, I got 20 seconds left. I've known you for, I guess, 15 years now. We've had a lot of contests on the floor, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. I'm from South Carolina, so.
Now, hold on a minute there. Yeah, hold on. They both from the same party now, don't you understand? They both Republicans. And I am supposed to sit here and credulously suspend engage in the Coleridge-esque willing suspension of disbelief to think that precious Lindsey and mush mouthed Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third have gone at it tooth and toenail. Oh, I mean, there's just a slapping of each other and calling each other out onto the field of honor over the course of 15 contentious years in the new United States Senate. Bullshit, he said to Robin, and he turned and walked away. Those two vote together. God almighty, I think you'd need a calculator with about 900 decimal places to find out the times that those two have not voted together, because that's what Republicans do! Yeah, but anyway, Lindsey was explaining to us that he comes from South Trumpalina.
So agree, sometimes we don't. I'm from South Carolina, so I know what it's like sometimes to be accused of being a conservative from the South. That means something other than you're a conservative from the South. And you're.
Yeah, I know. It means you're a member of the fucking Klan. That's what it means there, Lindsey. It's okay. I mean, somebody get Lindsey a nosegay or something there so he won't faint and fall out of nothing while he's sitting in his chair there. What other kind of white politicians are there from the South except conservatives? My Aunt May June's buttermilk butt biscuits recipe. Goodness gracious.
Case, people have fairly promptly tried to label you as a racist or a bigot or whatever you want to say.
Well, only if the shoe fits there, Lindsey.
How does that make you feel? And this is your chance to say something to those people.
My goodness gracious. I mean, talk about lobbing softballs. How does it feel to know that people think you are racist just because you spew a bunch of racist bullshit half the time and have opposed all kinds of civil rights measures and support voter suppression and things like that? How does it make you feel? But my favorite part, yeah, was the little, and he bites his lower lip a little bit like Lindsey's going to cry. Oh, he's gonna cry. Yeah, Steve with a note saying, "Oh no, get Lindsey's fainting couch." I know. I'll worry about it tomorrow.
And this is your chance to say something to those people.
Well, it does not feel good.
No fascism, no order, no fascism, 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 no fascism,
Nothing quite like watching a black woman being given the bums rush out of a room full of white folks, while one of the white folks is saying, "Oh, merciful goodness me, I ain't no heavenly days. I ain't no racist, no."
If nothing else, I'm clearing the room for you. And I would suggest.
Ain't it so funny when the black people get all uppity and start hollering about how they don't appreciate having their civil rights violated? Well, at least I'm clearing the room for you there, Jefferson Beauregard, Jeff Bo, if I may call you what I call you in our more intimate moments, Jeff Bo.
The freedom of speech also has some courtesy to listen. So, what's your answer?
Senator Graham, I appreciate the question.
Damn it. Yes, right. That's right. That Negress was being positively uncourteous by not listening to Jeff Bo explain how he's not a racist, even though he is. Even though he once referred to a colleague, a full-on licensed lawyer in his own office as boy. Even though he'd done that. No. There's a courtesy of a listening. That's what it is.
You have a southern name. You come from South Alabama. That sounds worse to some people. South Alabama.
Hold on there, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. You don't have a southern name. You got a treason name. Because that Jefferson part of your name, I know, you wasn't named after old Marse Tom of Monticello now. You was named after a former Kentucky and Mississippi senator, born in Kentucky, Mississippi senator, who committed treason against the new United States of America and incited others to take up arms against their own country. Yes, indeed. That's what you named for. It's not a southern name. It's a traitor name. That's what that is. And you know what? Your old grandpappy knowed it when he hung it on your daddy, and your daddy knowed it when he hung it on you. Let's see here. Wait a minute. I want to see something real quick. Let's see if there's any Sessions spawn, shall we? Oh, let's see. Income at 4th of Trinity. Come on. Hey. It just says Turin 3. Wikipedia will tell us he's a Sunday school teacher at the Ashland Place New United Methodist Church in Mobile. They have three grandchildren and six. They have three children and six grandchildren, but it does not tell us if the name of one of them is Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions IV. Nope, not quite. Anyway, it's mighty hard being white and having a southern treason name. You're always terrible difficult.
You come from South Alabama. That sounds worse to some people. South Alabama. When I came up as a United States attorney, I had no real support group. I didn't prepare myself well in 1986, and there was an organized effort to caricature me as something that wasn't true.
It wasn't true, except it weren't no caricature there, Senator. I mean, you really did call that lawyer boy. And you really did say that the NAACP and the ACLU were un-American organizations. You done did that. It's a matter of proof. Yes. I'm afraid it is.
It was very painful. I didn't know how to respond and didn't respond very well. I hope my tenure in this body has shown you that the caricature that was created of me was not accurate. It wasn't accurate then, and it's not accurate now. And I just want you to know that as a Southerner who actually saw discrimination and have no doubt it existed in...
And had a daddy who probably wouldn't allow those people, you know, to come in the front door of his general store, but we won't talk about that because, I mean, we wouldn't want to visit the sins of the fathers on the little old sons or nothing. No, of course not.
In a systematic and powerful and negative way, to the people, great millions of people in the South, particularly of our country. I know that was wrong. I know we need to do better. We can never go back. I am totally committed to maintaining the freedom and equality that this country has to provide to every citizen, and I will assure you that that's how I will approach it.
Well, of course he will. Absolutely. Now, mind you, whilst he has been a senator in those years since he was rejected as a federal judge, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III has created a bit of a history for himself. Mm-hmm. John Saxon, a Birmingham lawyer. John Saxon, a Birmingham lawyer, once served on a committee that recommended nominees for judgeships in Alabama. He told Mother Jones, "The senator has a problem putting African Americans on the federal bench in Alabama. People need to know that." Mm-hmm. One of those instances was in 1996. When Alex Howard retired from the Southern District of Alabama's federal court, that's the same court Sessions couldn't get confirmed to because he's a racist. And when Mr. Saxon and the rest of the committee started looking for replacements, they sent a list of a number of respected black lawyers from Mobile, which, by the way, is a majority black city in Alabama. But none of them ever even got nominated. You know why? Because Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, who ain't got a racist bone in his body, it's just that his whole body is racist, told the Clinton administration, "I can't support none of them names on that there list." And once he said that, Bill Clinton wilted like a daisy in the July heat. Mm-hmm. State Senator Hank Sanders of Mobile, who was also on the committee, said it was definitely Jeff Sessions that was preventing the appointment of an African American. Now, this is somehow supposed to be mitigated, at least according to Sessions spokeswoman Sarah Isger Flores, by the fact that Senator Sessions voted to confirm Eric Holder for Attorney General, as well as judges like Abdul Kalan and Charles Wilson and Janice Rogers Brown and Miguel Estrada, as Senator Jeff Sessions consistently voted for judges who would say what the law is and not what the law should be by substituting their own ideological preferences. Yeah, because there's not an ideological bone in Janice Rogers Brown's body. Now, this woman is a right-wing freak of the First Order. And thus, because she is a right-wing freak who happens to have dark skin, yeah, Sessions supported her. It gets worse, though. Mr. Saxon, remember, the Birmingham lawyer who sat on the Judicial Appointments Committee? Well, Saxon talked directly to Sessions at a Crimson Tide football game back in the late 1990s. And Sessions said, "I can't live with any of the candidates you suggested." Mm-hmm. And even when he mentioned other names, if they was black, they wouldn't get no appointment. Wasn't getting no nomination. Mr. Saxon says, I can't get in the man's heart or his soul, but I will tell you it's awfully curious that he blocked any of those names going forward and refused to come up with an alternative name with us, saying, Jeff, it's time to desegregate the Southern District. So then they gave up on the idea of getting a black person on the bench, so they put forward the name of a respected Jewish lawyer from Mobile by the name of Donald Briskman. And, of course, Jefferson Davis, Beauregard, Sessions III, blocked him, too. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, as President Barack Obama, otherwise known as that one in our White House, as he leaves office, you know, he's giving his farewell address tonight. It's going to be a sad bit of business watching that. It's going to be like watching Promise, a great deal of Promise, simply disappear. What did Rutger Hauer say in Blade Runner? Like tears in rain. Anyway, there are 5 district court seats in Alabama that are unfilled right now, as well as a vacancy that's reserved for an Alabama judge on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Democrats tried to fill some of those open seats with African-American jurists. But, well, Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III just absolutely refused to approve any of Obama's choices. Because you can't let one of those, even if he gets elected by a wide margin to the presidency, you can't let him go around acting all presidential, or the next thing you know, they'll be getting uppity and thinking they get to have another one of them in our White House. Yeah. So, just in case you're wondering. So here we are at 12 minutes past the hour. I should probably close the filibobster at this point. We're not quite done with Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, but we need to take a little break. And I want to thank Cameron very kindly for getting us started this evening. That means we've only got $245 to go in fundraising, and that is very helpful indeed. Some notes coming in, and that's $10 toward the I'm Not George Soros Challenge, courtesy of Tom in the Bay Area. So $40 to go on that challenge, $245 to go on fundraising for the entire evening. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, he did have a son, but somehow or another they decided to let the Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions thing skip a generation. I don't know, maybe that proves he knows that he's got a racist name. Thanks to Dowhead, our reference librarian, children Mary Abigail Sessions, Sam Sessions, and Ruth Sessions Walk. Oh my merciful goodness, Sessions has an Asian son-in-law. He's liable to be getting a visit from some of his former dear friends with the sheets and pillowcases or something like that. So let's take a little break. Oh, dang, got it. Let's take a little break. And if you want to jump into the conversations, I heartily welcome you so to do. You know how to reach the program. Area code 304-574-8178 or area code 304-663-4676. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Bob Kincaid Horn at, well, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. Emails bobkincaid@gmail.com. But on Skype, just Bob Kincaid Horn, and you'll be right in the thick of things. It being a Tuesday and everything, we got the Green News Report on the way with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Stick around, and maybe during the break, run over and smack the daylights out of that PayPal button on in the name of the Not George Soros Challenge. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Tuesday, January 10, 2017.
He has viewed the entire world through the lens of what's good for Exxon.
Unresolved questions and conflicts of interest for Trump's nominee. That time is running out to act on climate change. China to invest nearly $500 billion in renewable energy by 2020, plus President Obama says global transition away from fossil fuels is now irreversible.
Well, there's a little bit of good news then. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
2016, it was the hottest year ever. Donald Trump won the presidency. And on top of that, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. I'm pretty sure that's 3 out of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse right there.
I'm pretty sure you're right. This is your Green News Report.
If Dirty Grandpa wins Best Picture at the Oscars, we done for.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I'm not sure what Donald Trump and the Republicans are thinking. I guess if they hold all of these confirmation hearings as quickly as possible, maybe no one will notice that ExxonMobil's CEO is becoming the Secretary of State?
It certainly does look like it. Donald Trump's nominee for Secretary of State, that's CEO of oil giant ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, is scheduled to undergo Senate confirmation hearings starting on Wednesday. While Tillerson has negotiated a nearly $200 million severance package to exit Exxon, major unresolved questions include whether Tillerson's 41 years as an Exxon employee will trigger conflicts of interest with foreign policy, such as the U.S. commitment to the historic International United Nations Paris Agreement to fight climate change, which could curtail Exxon's future profits. In an interview on the broadcast, David Arkish of PublicCitizen.org notes that Exxon is invested in nearly 200 countries and has a $500 billion oil and gas deal with Russia that has been suspended.
He has a lot of foreign policy experience. It's all through the lens of what's good for ExxonMobil, what will profit ExxonMobil. And I don't know if he can tell the difference between what's good for the country and what's good for ExxonMobil. I don't think we should take the chance. I don't think we should trust him.
Also, Democratic senators will have very little time to question Tillerson about Exxon's decades of funding climate science denial propaganda groups and Exxon's own role in suppressing its own scientific research confirming man-made climate change.
So the idea is have these hearings as quickly as possible, have them all at the same time with a whole bunch of other people so that the
Well, that certainly was interesting. Oops. The Green News Report just kind of crapped out right smack dab in the middle of the broadcast. Oh, well. So we'll sort that out later. But anyway, let's run over and chat with... Tracy, shall we? Do let's. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, gorgeous. How you doing?
Oh, you know, hanging in there, right?
So here's what I'm thinking we should all do on Inauguration Day, those
yes.
of us who can, in protest of the fucking Nazi being, you know, sworn in as president. We should all go see Hidden Figures.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, just, you know, the movie. You've heard of it, right?
To be honest, no.
Oh, you're so white. This is.
Well, yes, it's not a secret.
Okay, so Hidden Figures is the story of the black women who helped with the space program.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I have heard of that.
I was to say, come on.
I didn't
it
know
actually,
that.
For you Star Wars geeks, it actually tied Star Wars at the movies this weekend, past weekend.
Okay, that would be good watching.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, wouldn't it be awesome to go see a movie about three black women in the protest of the misogynistic, racist asshole?
I think that would be good. Do we need ball gowns?
Yeah, I heard that shit this morning.
No, it sounds to me like Washington, D.C. Has a surfeit of them.
Right. I don't... I mean, when you can't get anybody to perform, other than a Mormon Tabernacle Choir and somebody from America's Got Talent, and who else? A blind guy? That's the full breadth of the entertainment.
Well, we know Charlotte Church is not going to be there.
Now, which one is she?
Another singer.
Wasn't she the opera singer? Wait, who is she?
I think she can sing operatically. I confess to a certain amount. White woman. And they reached out to her. She's from Wales. And she started out in classical music before she crossed over to pop in the last decade.
Uh-huh.
And the staff reached out to her to sing, and she immediately tweeted back at them, at Real Donald Trump, your staff have asked me to sing at your inauguration. A simple internet search would show I think you're a tyrant. Bye. Followed by four pile of shit icons. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Marty tells me Hidden Figures beat out Rogue One by about $700,000.
See, the last thing I saw was that it was tied. So now it beat them out. See?
Oh, an update from the chat room, though, that Big and Rich, who were famous like 8 years ago, are apparently going to be playing, because the Rich, Big Kenny, and then Rich Asshole, Big Kenny, it was kind of like an environmentalist. He showed up to protest mountaintop removal, things like that. But the Rich half is a total right-wing dickhead.
Yeah, I know what. Well, actually, I think I might be in San Diego on Saturday on Inauguration Day. I think I'm trying to get the details from Will's mom. He has that he's going to be on the junior hockey team once he graduates from high school. So they wanted him to come down and see how it works with the road trip and what have you. And I think that's on the 20th. So I will be otherwise engaged, but. What I was saying is,
I owed you one after the white.
I was waiting for it, and Sparky's like, he already talked about the game. I said, I know, I was listening. It's not often that I get to do a football reference and know what it means. So you got to give me that.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know,
and it was not lost on me, the irony, because, see, I'm like a bishop of the goddess of irony. I have many, in my father's house are many rubber chickens. But I couldn't watch that game last night without seeing it as a contest between a university where a white man stood in the doorway of the university to stop black people from going to school there.
Right.
Upon whom they now largely rely for their success in football.
In football. Yeah.
Versus another school whose campus is an old slave plantation owned by one of the nastiest slavers of them all, John C. Calhoun, who once said, slavery is a positive good. And who once again had a brilliant four-year starter, black quarterback, who marched down the field in under 2 minutes and whipped that Alabama ass.
Whipped them like they stole something.
And Alabama, meanwhile, was quarterbacked by a kid who turned 18 last August and has the cool of Barack Obama and is also, black.
Right. See, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I'm back in school and I'm taking one of my classes is Black History 1877 to the Present. And right now we're doing, I'm on.
There was Black History in 1877?
Yes.
Some bitch. Who knew?
There was Negroes. Get out. Yes. So basically right now I'm studying the Reconstruction and the lie that, you know, made people think that Black people, you know, because of, you know, that wonderful movie that Woodrow Wilson was history written in lightning, Birth of a Nation, which was a complete and total lie of what Reconstruction was. And how, you know, Andrew Jackson basically abandoned, every time I read stuff about the South, or not Jackson, Johnson, was it Johnson?
Johnson abandoned Reconstruction.
Yeah, Johnson.
Jackson, on the other hand, when John C. Calhoun started talking secession the first time through, said, I'm going to get on my horse, I'm going to get me a rope, and I'm going to ride down South Carolina, and I'm going to hang the first secessionist I find, and then I'm going to cut him down, and I'm going to find me another secessionist, and I'm going to hang him. And I'm going to keep hanging secessionists till there ain't no secessionists left in South Carolina, at which point John C. Calhoun, who was Andrew Jackson's own pick for vice president, suddenly lost a lot of his secessionist fervor.
Well, you got a man rolling up on you saying, I'm going to hang your ass. I think that'll kind of knock the wind out of your sails. What you think there?
I mean, Jackson was a racist, and by far worse, he was a genocidalist relative to the native population here.
Yes.
You may have heard, maybe not, there's an advertisement from a Nashville newspaper from back in the 19th century where Jackson advertises for the capture of a runaway slave and offers an extra $10 or $15 or $20 if whoever captures the slave will beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And every year, Democratic parties all over the country have Jefferson Jackson Day dinners named after a pair of slave owners because freedom.
Because, well, see, and you know what? And I'm watching, because as I'm reading, and I'm, you know, especially with this past election, reading about the radical Republicans during Reconstruction, I'm like, wow. These guys were pissed about Johnson's, you know, lackadaisical attitudes toward, you know, the secessionists and the treasonous traitors that, you know, were from the South, and the fact that he let them back into the Union as long as they ratified the 13th Amendment. Now, they didn't have to, you know, make sure that the 13th Amendment was fulfilled or all that, but as long as they ratified it, okay, you know, they're sorry. They didn't have to like it. They didn't have to like it. And, you know, they didn't really need to want to secede from the Union. They were just having a bad day. So just let them, you know, let them alone, and they'll be okay. Yeah. Ain't history something else? You know, it's a dangerous thing when you get actual facts. And like I listening, just like I said, and the radical Republicans were like, fuck y'all. No. We want to take their land. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to make sure that Black people get educated. We want to do, you know, make sure, let them be represented. Let them have the vote. Well, I'm sorry, not Black people, Black men. Let me not get out in front of yourself. I said people. Because women are people. They're chattel.
No, y'all got to stay in line for a while yet. I mean, that ain't going to happen for another 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's 33 years,
1877 to 19, 33 years.
33 years. So it's like, you know, I got ahead of myself because then we leap to, you know, the suffragist movement and how the suffragettes didn't want Black women involved because they were afraid of offending the little white women down South. And so, you know.
And the black men didn't want women involved because the women would fuck up everything for the black men who were all of a sudden maybe getting to vote some.
Right. And this, and see, and fast forward, you know, so everybody's out for themselves, right? You just did the perfect segue to, you know, fast forward to 2017. Everybody's out for themselves, but we're fighting for the same thing. And so because we can't get it in our heads that we all want the same things and should form alliances and fight for each other's rights because your rights are my rights are your rights, then we have these issues. Like this whole thing about Social Security, because like you said on the show before, you said how, you know, they're going after Social Security, but they're going to pacify the people who are already on Social Security by saying, we're not going to go after your Social Security. It's just the people who are going to get it later. So you're okay. So that means the people that are currently receiving Social Security, okay, we can breathe easy because they're not going to fuck with our money. Bullshit. Unequivocal, undeniable bullshit. Of course they're going to fuck with your money. The fact of the matter that that people on Social Security, the cost of living raise for this year or last year was $4 a month. Bob, what are you going to do with $4 a month?
Going to try not to spend it all in one place.
Right. So it's like when you don't fight for other people and concentrate only on your is. I got into a semi-heated debate about a year or so ago. This is like right before the shit really hit the fan that Trump was going to be the Republican nominee, about Obamacare. And these people are going on and on, okay, white Republicans, about how Obamacare was messing with them and our rates have gone up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, you good Christian people tickle me. Because, see, if you really were truly Christian, then you would be happy with the fact that people who did not have insurance are finally able to get it, not only get insurance, but go to the doctor for the first time in, I don't know, decades. When was the last time you were at the doctor, Bob, before Obamacare?
I would go for cheap blood work Tuesday.
Right. But the actual really go and get diagnoses and stuff like that.
Oh, no, go and deep throat a garden hose and get a zit on my pancreas popped? Mm-mm, that ain't happening.
Right, right. So can I safely say maybe decades?
Probably something, yeah, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Okay, well, a long time. But the fact of the matter is, see, this is, you know,
a long, scary time, I might add.
A long, scary time. But the bottom line is, because people are so fucking selfish, and we all have that crab barrel mentality, you know, when somebody starts to come up, we got to snatch their ass back down. We were somewhere along the way, we forgot on learning how to care about each other and be like, okay, so I have to pay a little bit more, but this person has insurance, and that makes this country great. That
and there's a corollary to that, Tracy, and it is the effect that states where progressive people had not been allowed to have the Affordable Care Act's Medicaid expansion found it easier to... Now, this is just a theory. I don't have any empirical data behind it. But if you live in a state that doesn't have the Medicaid expansion, then the Medicaid expansion doesn't mean much to you.
No.
So, you know, maybe that explains the voting behavior of maybe people in, like, Wisconsin. On the other hand, there are the poor, damned fools. And I'm not name-calling, Tracy. I mean, we know each other pretty well. I mean, poor damn fools.
Mm-hmm.
Who said, well, I'm going to go vote for Trump because he's going to make Merck great again.
And we still have.
And then the reporter says, well, you do realize that you just voted to take away your own health care. I did what?
No, I didn't.
I did what? I did? You're making me real nervous now. But he's great businessman. I don't think he's going to do that. Well, by the way, I don't know if you know, Tracy, but dipshit tweeted out that he wants Obamacare repealed by next week, period.
Mm-hmm. Period. End of message. Done.
Well, is dumbass not considering that if they hurry up and just pass a general repeal of Obamacare, it will land on Barack Obama's desk and he will veto it? Which I think would be hilarious.
Awesome. Are you going to watch his speech tonight?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to watch it. And I know this is not the appropriate progressive response because I'm supposed to be sitting here hollering about, oh, God damn it, Barack Obama's a war criminal. Because, you know, we're so very good at that. But I feel like I can be a reasonable human being and say that Barack Obama's 8-year presidency will be marked by what could have been.
What could have been?
More than what it was.
Just the fact that, I mean, 8 years of obstruction. 8 years of the Congress doing the opposite of their job. Well, no, they did what they... No.
They did the job as they defined it to be done.
They did what they were elected for. They did, except for the fact that they didn't make him a one-term president. I love that every time I think about it. But the fact remains is that there's so much that could have been done in his presidency. But see, he wasted on his, that Secretary of Jesus Barack, he wasted so much time trying to be bipartisan and trying to work with these
reaching across, reaching his sort of cocoa colored hand across the aisle only to withdraw a bloody stump. Yeah, that.
Right. These death walking, flesh eating bastards. Heartless, soulless people. No, I don't even think they're people. I can't even put them in the human race. Because, see, if you're human, in my humble opinion, human beings, a true human being, cares about other people. But when the only thing that you care about is yourself and what you can do and the people in your circle, you're not a part of the human race. You're just a part of, it's all about me and what I can get out of it. Because this presidency for the next 4 years and the people that are going to be in his cabinet for the next 4 years, it's all about what they can get from this country. Exxon guy, how much does he have in oil rights in Russia that's just waiting to get rid
of it's sanctions? Just a little $500 billion deal. But okay. but Exxon just put together his buyout package.
Okay.
And the poor fella is only getting paid. And I mean, this makes me want to send him a dollar or something. Poor fella is only getting paid $200 million.
Is that it?
I know. I'm surprised Trump will even speak to him.
A measly paltry $200 mil.
Pissant money.
Pissant. I wipe my ass with $200 million, Bob.
$200 million ain't worth getting up and out of bed for in the morning.
Mm-mm.
I mean, hell, I won't buy a Powerball ticket till it's at least $300 million.
Exactly.
Because I mean, don't insult me with your shitty little $40 million Powerball.
$200 million, Bob. And he.
You can't blame him. Rex Tillerson hasn't figured out that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses when you die.
Hey, Bob. Bob. Quick question, love.
Yes, ma'am.
How much of that is he gonna? How much of that is gonna be paid in taxes? None.
Oh, about none. I mean, do you realize while we're talking about eating the rich? This might come as a little bit of a surprise to you, but by the time, by 10 days from now, when that moment happens, tens of thousands of Americans will already have gotten done paying their Social Security taxes for the whole damn year. Anybody who earns at least $2.1 million a year, and that's about 100,000 people in the United States, will reach their Social Security threshold by Inauguration Day. Now, because you don't, you won't.
Mm-hmm. See, this is that point. See, this is why right now. See, I'm sitting. I don't know if I told you guys, but you know, when we moved into our house, my main purpose, you know, is a three bedroom, and there is an extra room, but the extra room is my room.
Until it becomes Tim's room, yes.
Until it becomes Tim's room, or your room, if you ever get your, you know.
Sorry, white ass out there. Yes.
Sorry, white ass. You know, I was just thinking about that. When you say white, you know, get your white ass out here. It doesn't say I have the same impact as get your black ass. It just.
No, it's kind of pitiful and pale and pasty, and it just no.
It doesn't have the same bite to it.
And largely non-existent, I might add. I mean, I've told you about back in the days when I would go and had occasion to go and buy suits, and I'd go to this one guy that I always dealt with, and he kept a notebook of all of his customers' measurements. And he'd always check his current measurements against the older measurements, and he had a notes section on his page for, you know, likes pointed collars, likes rounded collars, likes cufflinks. You know what my notes section said?
No ass at all?
No ass.
No ass. So you're suffering for no ass at all disease.
I got a bad case of no ass at all.
I'm sorry. It makes me think of the movies back in the day where the women had no ass and just these bullet bras. It's like,
I mean, if I had a great set of abs. And instead of this bit of a beer belly, if I had a flat stomach, you couldn't tell me backwards from forwards. Now, I'm never going to be so skinny that I have to run around in the shower to get wet, or if I turn sideways wearing a striped shirt, I look like a zipper. But that much is fact. That's turn sideways and stick your tongue out. Look like a zipper.
See, this is why I listen and or talk to you, because see, I need these laughs, and for the next, speaking of needing laughs and stuff like that, for the next 4 years, people, we got to start contributing. Even if you can't, I was thinking about this the other day about the contributions and, you know, or the lack thereof to the horn. Even if you can't send money, you can go on your Facebook page and talk about Bob and put a link to, because I plan on doing, as a matter of fact, I am going to practice what I preach. Two things I'm going to try to remember to do, talk about the boycott, you know, see if you get a boycott of the inauguration by going to see, in protest, going to see Hidden Figures. And doing something, just a note or two, because we're all, people who complain about we don't have news, we don't have an outlet, and just like that, but we do. It's called The Horn. It's called Bob KK. It's called Fridays on the Front Porch. But he cannot keep continuing to do this without funds. And I know everybody's not able. I've been blessed. I have been exceedingly blessed in the last few years that I can, because when I first started listening, I couldn't contribute much because I couldn't, but now I can. But for those of you who can't, take a moment, write something up about Bob. Tell people about the show. Tell them about how much we get to cuss on the radio, how this crazy black woman calls in and talks about black people and white people. And I'm not being mean. Well, maybe just a little. Tell them about how you talk. We listen and talk about relevant things and how to get through the next 4 years. How we hear the truth. How we hear the stuff that we're never going to hear on the for-profit media. And it tickles me every time I hear about, you know, the liberal media this, the liberal media that. Bullshit.
Where?
Where? If you want to hear liberal, continue to truly hear liberal progressive media, we have to contribute. Bob's not Stephanie Miller that charges for her for their podcast. You could get the podcast for free, but these things take time, money, effort, and mostly money. You think that we, you know, Bob does not have a magical money tree, food stamp tree, or whatever in the back of his house that whenever he needs to get new equipment, he just goes trolloping, you know, outside and just pick the, you know, whatever he needs off the tree to go buy a new electric booba baba locka locka something because, you know, I am a complete idiot when it comes to technology. So, you know, that's why when he was asking me about my computer, I'm like, it's a computer.
No, you know what? I happened to be in Hellmark the other day. And I was going to, I deliberately walked into the computer section. You know, never buy a computer at Hellmark. Never buy anything at Hellmark.
No.
But I just because of the way this program works and the way my mind works, I went down the computer aisle just to see if I could find Tracy's white computer.
Did you see it?
They're all black.
I have a white computer and a white wife. What?
if Kimba was white, you'd have gone for the trifecta. You'd have had the trifecta.
Well, I have to have something black. Kimba, oh my God! I have to send. She jumped up on me. She's almost as tall as me when she's up. You know, when she jumps, and it's like her paws reach to my shoulders. She's such a big girl. I've been focusing, you know, because the Battle of the Bulge, which, you know, we have been battling forever. So I've made a commitment. I take Kimba out for a walk pretty much every day.
Whilst wearing your Fitbit.
Whilst wearing my Fitbit. And you know what? Today was the first, it actually rained. Not hard, but just enough that I was like, I used to run a lot. I ran a marathon in Chicago. I did the Walt Disney World Half Marathon. I used to run 5Ks. Yeah, and then that stopped. But when I was really training seriously, I used to love to run in the rain. I would come back in my house soaking wet. But it was an awesome feeling. And so today, but then back then, I didn't have to wear glasses. So I come back in the house. My glasses are fogged up. I'm not soaked, but just wet, Kimba, you know, and I'm like, but it felt so good, you know, because I was out doing something. I was out trying to do, you know, get outside of myself and not think about the fact that in how many days from today that person voted, you know, that they called on The View, they called them Voldemort. That's what they called him. He said they won't even say his name on The View.
It's a beautiful thing.
They won't even say his name. At least Whoopi and Joy Behar, they just like, I can't say his name. I won't say his name. I'm surprised that he hasn't tweeted about them. Or maybe he has and it just got lost in all the other bullshit tweets he does, like the one he did about Meryl Streep.
Oh, Jesus.
Who never won.
See, well, that raises another issue, Tracy, because I watched as much of the Sessions hearings as I could.
I'm surprised. I walked out. I walked in, and Jan was watching them, and then I walked out.
And I kept waiting for somebody to pretty please ask him, because... but they're all too genteel, and there's far too much comedy up there. But when are we going to finally start talking about not the elephant in the room, but the great goddamn big woolly mammoth fucking mastodon with the 19-foot tusks over there smoking in the corner? And that is, and that is, what are we? What is any cabinet nominee prepared to do relative to the 25th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States when it becomes abundantly clear that Donald J. Trump is nuts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved the show the other day when we were talking about the brain scan and syphilitic?
Yeah, syphilitic. Right? Yeah, tertiary syphilis, paresis. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just the fact, because, Bob, I'm sorry. I was just talking to a friend of mine about the whole tweeting thing, and I think about our current seated president. Could you imagine if he tweeted any, first of all, the fact he's a, let's just take and put into the, you know, take out the equation that he's a grown up and he would never do that. But when would he have time to govern if every time somebody says something bad about him or to him, because you know that's been done as well, that he tweeted about it?
Well, great God almighty. I mean, that there would have been no presidency. It would have just been all tweets.
It would have been all tweets.
Because the right wing, I mean, goddamn, how long, if he had the same mindset as Donald Trump, how long would Barack Obama have been tweeting back when Rick Brofromix Santorum made that reference to blah people?
Right.
I mean, there's that.
There's that. Or who was it that got up in Congress and said, you lie?
That would be Joe Wilson, whose name isn't Joe, whom our buddy Eric Bjorn ran against in the recent election, and who didn't just get up and... He said that during... He screamed that at the President of the United States during a State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't tweet-worthy. I don't know what it was. Now, see, this is why I'm not running for office. Because had a motherfucker stood up and said, bitch, you lying? Because that's basically what he said. Actually, I don't think I would have tweeted it. I just would have slapped the shit out of it. But see, that's just me.
By the way, we've got another suggestion about how to protest coming in. This is courtesy of Don from Central PA, Tracy.
Okay.
Don says, to protest Trump, why don't people quit watching CBS, NBC, CNN, etc.? Not only the news programs, but all their programming, tell them why. Their treatment of Trump.
Mm-hmm. That's another good way. Because, see, because the inauguration will be early enough that we really can't go to the movies because it's in the morning, especially for us on the West Coast. So that's the perfect way, because I saw a thing about not watching TV at all. I'm going to be streaming stuff or doing, you know.
Well, and you know, I've been talking ever since I got it about my misgivings about my decision to sign up for DirecTV Now.
Oh, how is that working? Or is it not?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm still trying to remember why I wanted TV.
Well, I, you know,
because I damn sure didn't want all the commercials.
See, and I've been wanting to not have cable anymore, but I can't not have cable because, you know, corporate America, in order to for Jan to watch the Dodgers or the Lakers, we have to have cable.
Right. And that's about my only reason, you know, the occasional Mountaineer basketball game. Football, you know, Super Bowl.
Yeah, because it's March Madness.
March Madness. Or, wait. Let me see if I can. A tradition unlike any other. The Masters coming to CBS in April.
Excuse me, as I choked to death on
all I need is a little tinkling piano over here to one side and, you know, a few cutaway shots to the butler cabin and, oh, hell, I don't even sit down and watch the Masters anymore.
You know, I try to. I've been watching because I have all these different streaming things. So I've been watching Ray Donovan. I have binge watched. I'm up to the most current season. Have you? I don't know why I just asked you that. You just got cable, so why would I think that you have Showtime?
But I did get the $5 HBO.
Okay.
Because I got a hankering to check out Westworld.
Bob, it's going to be more than a hankering once you start watching it.
But the problem is, how do I go back and start watching? Because I don't want to jump in medias res. I got to start at one and work forward. I'm numerical and linear that way.
Well, no, because it's already ended its first season, so you could just go on to they should have like an on demand on the HBO. So you can just watch whatever shows you want to watch.
Now, I got HBO East and HBO Family.
Oh, but they don't have a on-demand thing? Because I thought...
Not that I've figured out yet. Now I think Scott and Punky are a few days ahead of me on this. If they've found it, maybe Scott will tell me. I don't know.
Because I'm wondering, since you have the $5 a month HBO, if you have a way to go on to sign into HBO Now. And or whatever the app is, and watch, because Westworld is awesome.
I mean, I remember that movie when it was a movie.
I saw that
when I was like maybe a 10 or preteen, pre-adolescent kind of, and it scared the shit out of me.
That movie was creepy.
I mean, when Yul Brynner took his face off.
Oh, speaking of Yul Brynner, Jen and I went and saw the King and I.
Moses, Moses, Moses. Who is this Moses? I am thinking this Moses shall have been a fool. Mrs. Anna, take a letter to Abraham Lincoln. that's my terrible Yul Brynner.
The cool thing about it was that, there were actually Asians playing Asians. It was actually culturally correct.
Oh, well, and it's a delightful stage show. I mean, we did it in summer theater back in Northwest Alabama when I was a teenager, and we ordered in all the fancy ass backdrops and costumes and all of that stuff, and I worked backstage, and I also had a speaking but not singing role, because it was early on established that no, young Bob will not be singing shit. That boy has a lovely developing speaking voice, but he can't carry a tune in a bucket.
well, Jan, I had never seen it. I was a fan of the movie, but it's so funny how when you watch stuff when you're a kid, you realize there's something wrong with this picture. And then as I grew up, it's like, yeah, Rita Moreno playing an Asian. Okay, she's Hispanic. They didn't have any Asian actors back then. What? And, of course, Yul Brynner, who was nowhere near Asian. But then again, he was playing an Egyptian back in the Ten Commandments, so what do I know?
Well, what the hell was Yul Brynner? Wait a minute.
Okay, now we just... What was he? One of my favorite actors. I thought Yul Brynner was sexy as hell, personally.
All right.
Especially in The Magnificent Seven.
Let's see. Oh, Russian. Russian-born Swiss-American.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, Russian, Asian. I mean, parts of Russia are in Asia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See how your bigotry just creeps up on you, Tracy?
Yeah. How can we, see, this is the thing about bigotry, and I mean, I'm no Archie Bunker, but I sometimes kind of slip into the George Jefferson aspect of it. But we all have prejudice, and we have that, we have the mild, sometimes we, but I...
Oh, and he really was, he really was born in the Asia part of Russia. He was born in Vladivostok.
Oh, see?
Yuli Borisovich Brynner. Now, you want to talk about some stick-to-itiveness. He played the king of Siam.
Yes, he did.
4,625 times on stage.
What?
Okay.
Did he do the Broadway show before the movie? Or
oh, hell yeah. Okay. I'm not going to try to do this in my head. Hey, okay, we're ciphering now. 4625 divided by 369. Yeah. 12.67 years. In other words, he played the king slightly longer than I've been doing the horn.
He probably played the king longer than the king was even. The king died. I love that movie. It's racist as it was.
And among the people who were unheralded who passed away in 2016, the woman who sang
for
Deborah Carr.
Is it Carr or Kerr?
I think it's Carr. It's K E R R, but you know, it's one of those British things like where you pronounce C L E R K Clark.
Oh, right.
And E L E V A T O R Lift. And T R U C K Lori. It's a British thing. But the woman who did her voiceover, she passed away last year.
Didn't she do the voiceover for her and for Audrey?
She did Audrey Hepburn's singing voice in My Fair Lady.
But to watch the key, because it was usually I get antsy and kind of bored while I'm sitting because the seats at the Pantages, they really need to redo those seats. They are not made for people in this century or this decade because.
Made for hobbits, are they?
They're made for people who don't. There was no such thing as supersized back in the day. You know what I'm saying? if you're size, 14 and below, you're okay. But anything over that, you're in trouble. So I typically get a bit, because I haven't seen 14 in a minute. So I do get a little uncomfortable and squeezed in when I go. And that's only time I notice how uncomfortable the seats are. That's when I'm not really enjoying the show. Like when we went to go see Hedwig and the Inn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was jam left. It was almost two hours with no intermission.
And it was Marnie Nixon was her name, by the way.
Oh yes.
Marnie Nixon.
I was
getting
sad
to know you.
Getting to know all about you. Yes.
Small. My favorite part though is the retelling of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Oh, man.
Small house of Uncle Thomas.
we're
making Matt in San Francisco smile because Matt in San Francisco loves show tunes.
Oh, good. Well, see, I've seen the movie 10 billion times, right? But I hadn't seen it in years. And to see it for two things, live and to see actual Asians playing Asians, you got to love it. I mean, and because it wasn't, I don't know.
Well, because of the inherent racism that goes with assuming that, you can't have a Japanese guy playing Hamlet. I mean, it's in Denmark and everything.
Right.
I mean, but the white guys can play, but white guys can play Othello.
Right. Or a black guy playing Cyrano.
Right. Yeah. Now, I don't, have you been keeping up with The Man in the High Castle?
See, I'm one of okay. So when you
it is no, I mean I'm trying, but the second season is I forget who described it this way. Maybe it was Ron and Raleigh, or possibly Robert and Oz. The pacing of the second season of The Man in the High Castle is glacial.
Oh, kind of like watching paint dry.
But the acting is exquisite.
Well, the guy that, because I've only watched two seasons,
and the two guys that play the primary, the Japanese trade minister and the Japanese like secret police investigator.
Those guys
are some straight up amazing actors.
Well, the guy, the main bad guy, Rufus Sewell.
Yeah.
He is exquisitely horribly evil. And to watch him just everything that he's It was like
no, but you want to talk about wait. You want to talk about evil bad? I mean, you want to talk about bad guys? I am convinced that without a doubt, one of the most conscienceless, meanest, most vicious, hateable. I mean, whoa, is Tobias Menzies, who plays the villain in Outlander.
See, I haven't.
Wow. I mean, you know, he's like Rada trained and everything. And God damn, he's evil.
Speaking of bad guys, and you have Amazon, yes?
Yes.
Of course you do. Have you watched Goliath?
Oh, yeah.
Man, Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, oh, no, I just devoured that program whole.
It was so funny because I watched it on a whim. I watched it like the first week that school was out, you know, for Christmas break. Ooh, I said Christmas.
Holiday, damn it.
Happy holidays.
Winter holiday.
And I always say, and you know, even though I am a Christian, I went out of my way to say happy holidays because, see, this is how my riddle sometimes whole crazy mind works. I think back to when I was a kid, you know, when there was such things as Christmas pageants and Easter pageants, and we're doing all these Christmas songs. And back then, I'm thinking about, you know, what about the Jewish kids? I wasn't thinking about it. It didn't come to me until I got older. And then as I got even older, you know, learning about Ramadan and, you know, and Islamic faith, then I'm like, what about the Islam, you know, the Muslim kids and all these people who have been left out since the inception of this country when it comes to Merry Christmas? Because everybody does not celebrate Christmas. So, you know, there's Hanukkah, there's Ramadan, there's Kwanzaa, and then, of course, the amazing Festivus for the rest of us. Do you know there's a Festivus for the rest of us cruise?
No. Yes. Really? I mean, they've got the pole and the airing of grievances and feats of strength and everything?
Yeah, apparently, because I was looking at cruises to take my mom on for her 70th birthday in 2019. Yeah, because he just turned 67 in November. So, and I was looking at Norwegian, and they have a cruise. I was looking for holiday cruises, and they have, you know, the Christmas cruise, Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. But they actually have a cruise for the Festivus for the rest of us. Talking about the impact of pop culture, that a cruise line has dedicated an entire cruise to a holiday made up on a TV show.
There's a market. Welcome to capitalism. There's a market for everything. Hey, I got it. This just rolled across, and I'm beginning to get emails and stuff. I think we need to. I think we probably need to put this out into the conversational stream real quick, because Al Franken knew about it earlier today when he was talking to Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
Did he ask about what a racist trick he is?
Well, yeah. Actually, it took the guy on the committee who ain't a lawyer turned out to be better at doing cross examination than that otherwise whole room of full of Matlocks.
Hey, don't lump them in there with Eddie Griffin. I love me some Matlock. Don't do that.
Yeah, a bunch of Perry Masons. Yeah, sorry. But along the way, and it has since, and I think what happened is Al Franken sort of forced, he forced the media's hand because
what happened?
Well, he started asking, well, let me get to the audio, okay? This is Al Franken questioning Sessions. You'll be able to hear it, I think. And he asks Sessions some real itchy questions.
Ooh.
Information about Mr. Trump. These documents also allegedly stated, quote, there was a continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government. Now, again, I'm telling you this as it's coming out, so, you know. But if it's true, it's obviously extremely serious. And if there is any evidence that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government in the course of this campaign, what will you do?
Ooh. Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it.
Yeah, nobody asked him if he had communications with the Russians.
I didn't hear. Did he have? Okay, so you and I are hearing the same thing, right, Bob? Motherfucker, he did not ask you if you personally had communications with the Russians. Just did the bastard. What he asked, and I want to make
is
sure,
if this turns out to be true, will you do something about it?
So we heard the same thing, right?
Right. Well, okay. So here's the follow up.
Very well. Without divulging sensitive information, do you know about this or know what compromising personal and financial information the Russians claim to have?
Senator Franken, allegations get made about candidates all the time, and they've been made about President-elect Trump lots of times. Most of them, virtually all of them, have been proven to be exaggerated or untrue.
Not really.
Not really.
I mean, he's the one that said he grabs women by the, you know, maybe he needs a Tic Tac.
With and it's probably an orange Tic Tac.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would just say to you that I have no information about this matter. I have not been in on the classified briefings, and I'm not a member of the Intelligence Committee. I'm just not able to give you any comment on it at this time.
Okay, totally fair. Last week, Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, claimed that the Russian government was not the source of the hacked emails WikiLeaks published during the campaign, that they published during the campaign. Now, Assange did not identify his source, nor did he say whether his source worked with or received information from the Russians. But again, American intelligence agencies have concluded the Russian government directed the hacking operation. Nonetheless, immediately following that interview, President-elect tweeted, quote, Julian Assange said a 14-year-old could have hacked Podesta. Why was DNC so careless? Also said Russians did not give him the info, exclamation point. Senator Sessions, does it concern you that our future commander-in-chief is so much more willing to accept what Julian Assange says instead of the conclusions of our intelligence agencies? And why do you think President Trump finds Assange trustworthy?
Senator Franken, I'm not able to answer that. I've not talked to the president-elect about any of these issues, and it is often inaccurate what gets printed in the papers.
Well, back in 2010, back when WikiLeaks was publishing stolen American diplomatic cables and military secrets, you voiced concern about the Obama administration's response. You said that WikiLeaks publishing sensitive documents should be, quote, pursued with the greatest intensity. You said, quote, the president from on down should be crystal clear on this. And I haven't seen that. I mean, he comes out of the left, the anti-war left. They've always glorified people who leak sensitive documents. Now he's the commander-in-chief, so he's got a challenge. President-elect Trump, by contrast, said, quote, WikiLeaks, I love WikiLeaks. Do you believe that by holding up Julian Assange, who traffics in leaked and stolen documents, often classified documents, as a legitimate source of information, that President-elect Trump is glorifying people who leak sensitive documents?
Well, I will say this, that if
this is called being hung on one's own petard, by the way.
Assange participated in violating the American law, then he is a person subject to prosecution and condemnation.
Well, we know that in regard to what he did in 2010, and yet the president-elect said, WikiLeaks, I love WikiLeaks. Doesn't it seem like perhaps if you weren't sitting before us today as an attorney general nominee, and if President Obama was...
And that's as far as it goes. But Tracy, this is some serious shit.
Yes, it is.
Because here's the background on it. And this is what I mean when I say Al Franken kind of forced the hands of the for-profit media. They've known about this for months, okay? On the one hand, it turns out that what we have here, last week, Obama and Trump were both given a classified briefing about the Russian business. Now, in that briefing, according to people who were in on them, Trump was told that, and this is a little complicated, that memos that had been gathered by a former British intelligence officer who had worked for MI6 and were gathered because he was hired to get opposition research on Trump by both Democrats and Republicans alike. He uncovered information that the Russians are holding deeply compromising information about Trump, something that we have speculated was a fact for quite some time now here on this program.
On the program.
Russia has been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for years and hold compromising information about him. Now, that's one story I'm looking at. The New York Times sent out a blast email just about a half an hour ago. And Matthew Rosenberg and Adam Goldman wrote as follows, Tracy. And it comes across kind of word salad-y because you get the idea that the New York Times just got its junk caught in its own zipper. The chiefs of America's intelligence agencies last week presented President Obama and President-elect Donald J. Trump with a summary of unsubstantiated reports that Russia had collected compromising and salacious personal information about Mr. Trump, two officials with knowledge of the briefing said. The summary is based on memos generated by political operatives seeking to derail Mr. Trump's candidacy. Details of the reports began circulating, and this is important. This sentence is what leaped off the screen at me. Details of the reports began circulating in the fall and were widely known among journalists and politicians in Washington. All right, here's the question. If those details were widely known among journalists and politicians in Washington, why the f*** weren't they known by the American people? Why did the journalists sit on the information? Why did they absolve themselves of their duties under the First Amendment as the Fourth Estate? Why did they cover for Trump?
Mm-hmm.
The summary was presented as an annex to the intelligence agency's report on the Russian hacking of the election. The material was not corroborated, and the New York Times has not been able to confirm the claims. But intelligence agencies considered it so potentially explosive that they decided Mr. Obama, Mr. Trump, and congressional leaders needed to be told about it and that the agencies were actively investigating it. Intelligence officials were concerned that the information would leak before they informed Mr. Trump of its existence, said the officials, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the summary is classified and talking about it would be a felony. It seems to me that if there's a felony involved here, covering this shit up,
it's even worse.
In the middle of an election is by far the greater, for want of a better word, sin.
Yep. That's all. That's.
I mean, Tracy. This is blowing. I seldom get my mind blown in the middle of a program.
This just came out.
The New York Times story hit about maybe an hour ago. And like I said, Al Franken was asking Sessions about it during the hearings today, and it forced the rest of the for-profit media to actually deal with it instead of burying it.
Like, you know, with the why can't I think of Dylann Roof? Roof? What is it?
Yeah. Dylann Roof? You're going to be horizontally crucified?
I'm sorry. I go, as much as I despise and what he did, I'm like you. I'm up with the death penalty, because what good is it going to do? It doesn't deter crime.
Well, maybe it'll make somebody feel better. I don't know.
It won't. It's not going to bring the people back, is it?
Nope. Sorry, no. That doesn't work that way.
Well, that's what you were saying earlier in the show. Because see, you're saying, you know, that's one of those ways to keep people's mind off of what's really going on right now. Because like you said, it'll give, you know, people the air. That the South is, you know, well, we're going to avenge the murder of nine black folks, saying that we never did it before. You know, all the bombings and murders during the Civil Rights. Well, not just during the Civil Rights.
Well, it gets better. It gets better. According to the dossier, and BuzzFeed has published the whole thing, what they think is the whole thing. It states that Russia has been, quote, cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for years, okay? Russians exploited, here's another quote, Trump's personal obsessions and sexual perversion in order to obtain suitable kompromat, which is compromising material, on him.
Is his wife Russian? What is she?
Nah, she's, what, Slovenian?
Close enough. Well, that's awful.
Now, I got no answers. I got nothing but questions. So they briefed Obama on it, and then they sat down and told Trump, listen, the Russians already know what you like to do with dwarves, bowling balls, and chandeliers, and a llama.
And don't forget a chimpanzee.
So, I mean, because that kind of flies in the face of Field's third commandment. Don't smarten up a chump.
Mm-hmm.
This shit, we're getting very close to Nixon territory here, and the sumbitch isn't even inaugurated, Tracy. What did he know, and when did he know it? That's some Nixon language there. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a Watergate. Like you said, he hasn't even been. He's 8, 10 days. How many days? Today's 10 days. Has a president ever been impeached before he's been inaugurated?
No. And this, but you heard Senator Jefferson Beauregard the third. You heard him. Well, I don't know nothing about it.
Lying bastard.
I don't know nothing about it, so I can't do nothing about it. And even if I knowed something about it, I probably wouldn't do nothing about it. Because it don't involve no black people for me to hate on.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but I ain't in the Klan or nothing. Yeah, you did hear about that earlier.
Had Trump been hit by a bunch of Nigerians.
Oh, well.
Had there been some Africans. Influence of some stuff from, you know, the West Indies or, you know, Jamaica or somewhere, then that'd be, you know, hey, we might have to look into this. But like you said, there was no black people involved. Or in, you know, during the time out here when they were, you know, with the crap wars and when black people got killed, you know, NHI, no humans involved.
Yeah, I know.
I know. So, you know, so seeing that we're not even considered human by most people. I don't say most. I'm sorry.
But I mean, I'm sorry, Tracy. This is blowing. I mean, this is blowing my mind. I mean,
well, it has to, because it's terrifying, Bob. This is the kind of stuff that, like, you know, we joke about impeachment and stuff like that. But the problem, the bottom line is, we are about to be, we're about to be put in a situation where we got a crazy person who has to launch codes. That if he goes off of somebody on Twitter before the launch code, before getting the launch codes, and if somebody pisses him off, what is he going to do once he becomes commander-in-chief or POTUS? See, these are those things that we have to worry about. I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning, you know, on the 21st, and find out that we're at war with pick a country because somebody didn't give him his due, or somebody said something wrong to him. You know, he's going to have the entire weight of he's got the Secret Service, he has the FBI, the CIA, and all this power to a man who has the mentality of a 2-year-old.
Well, I'm about to make it worse. You know what, perversion.
I don't have alcohol. See, this
no,
is
you know what? The, well, just get the hockey puck, Tracy. Because you know what? One of the perversions involved that the Russians apparently have on him.
Little girls.
No, at one point in time, he rented out the presidential suite of the Ritz-Carlton Moscow, where President and Mrs. Obama had stayed. Once he did so, he hired, quote, a number of prostitutes to perform a golden shower urination show in front of him. The hotel was known to be under secret police control with microphones and concealed cameras in all the main rooms to record anything they wanted. The Moscow Ritz-Carlton episode involving Trump, reported above, was confirmed by Source E, who said that Sheehy and several of the staff were aware of it at the time, and subsequently Sheehy believed it had happened in 2013.
So, when he's supposed to be more mature? Because remember,
Trump's unorthodox behavior in Russia over the years had provided the authorities there with enough embarrassing material on the now Republican presidential candidate to be able to blackmail him if they so wished.
Now, see, here we go with that part of my life that, you know, I think I used to get paid to beat white men's asses. That was, you know, and none of which would have been, you know, none of which are running for president. So, golden showers. And I'm surprised
he's got a piss fetish.
He got off
watching whores piss on the bed where Mr. and Mrs. Obama slept.
See, that's when Barack needs to just roll up on him and just whoop his ass.
And there are pages and pages and pages of this published by BuzzFeed.
This is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. But then again, there's the question, does this immunize him, Tracy? If we offer, so first, there's a whole bunch of Merkins are going, I just wish them whores could have pissed on Obama himself. I mean, mm-hmm. My God, Tracy, I cannot tell you, not yelling at you, you know.
I know.
But I cannot tell you the number of rusted out old pickup trucks that I see bumbling and rumbling around this state that show Calvin, you know, the cartoon character Calvin.
Yes, piss it on.
Pissing on, let's see, the word tree hugger, Calvin pissing on the, but most particularly, Calvin pissing on the word Obama.
Oh, God.
Not to engage in cultural appropriation, but there is a term that is used out there. It is an ethnic term. Shit just got real.
Yeah, you gotta say, the shit just really got real, Bob. I mean, but like you said, now does he get immunity? Does he, you know, once he becomes president, does this all just go away? Does it go bye-bye? Does it, you know, will it be able to be used against him? And that's where you talk about the 25th Amendment, right? About if there's ever, will you, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, will you, in your capacity as Attorney General, if there comes a time when this man is obviously unable and unfit to be the President of the United States, what will you do? You racist bastard. He didn't say that part, but, you know.
I mean, this is...
Can you send a link to the article into the chat room?
Well, no, I really can't because I'm on a different computer, and
can you email it to me?
Well, here's the deal. If you go to Raw Story...
To Raw Story. Okay.
And you select a story. It says, watch CNN's Jake Tapper says Trump campaign colluded with Russian operatives. Scroll down, and there's a paragraph that says, BuzzFeed published what is purported to be the full dossier detailing the explosive but unverified claims that Russia had been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for years and held compromising information about him. And you know what? If they've got him paying hookers to piss a bed, they've got shitloads worse.
Okay, so I'm looking at news.
God stories. Knows what that man did to an orange-haired yak.
Oh, here, CNN Jake Tapper says Trump campaign colluded with Russian operatives. Is that it?
Yeah. And you scroll down, and there's a bolded link. It says full dossier. Read it at your leisure.
Don't you love the internet? See, I could talk to you, and I could go online, and all this good stuff, this is the kind of stuff that has me, because, you know, did I tell you that I was on anti-anxiety medication?
Oh, sorry.
That I wasn't on before the election. I only take it when needed, and my anxiety levels have dropped considerably. Now they're starting to rise again. I don't think I'm going to have to take my medication, but this is the kind of stuff that makes you go, oh, you know, clutching your heart, thinking, oh, my, am I having a heart attack or a panic attack? Because, again, this, what are we going to do, Bob? What are we going to do?
I wish I could tell you that a million people are going to surround the house, the Capitol and the White House and not leave until Trump does. Jesus Christ, Arnold just messaged me and says, apparently they have it on video, Bob. That nasty, naked, orange fuck. With a bunch of Russian whores. No slur on sex workers.
Yeah, about to say, stop saying whores.
Grabbing them by the, you know, and not... Now, go up there, pee right up. Yeah, I want you to do a golden shower, like right on the pillow, like, you know, where Obama put his Kenyan head. No, drink some more champagne, baby, really. It's the best champagne. It's Trump champagne. It's even got, like, a plastic stopper.
This is going to be... I, you know, like you were saying about how they're pushing everybody, you know, through on these, you know, this is a man who, didn't he just fire
all the diplomats and all the people in charge of making sure our nuclear arsenal is safe? Well, two people. Sorry, I'm not trying to run your anxiety up. Hey, I need to do a quick fundraising update. Thanks very kindly to Jude. Just got a note saying I'll be sending $20 your way, Bob. So update Wayne. Not only spiders will take him by surprise. So that takes us down to $225 to go, and that means $20 to go to meet Tom's not George Soros challenge, and then we got $220 overall just to finish fundraising for the evening. So
come on, people. We could do better. We got there's 20 minutes left in the show.
But I'm kind of gobsmacked here.
I got the dossier. I just pulled up the dossier. I'm going to print this out because see, we're old. You're old like me. I like to see. It's hard for me a lot of times to read stuff. Too much stuff on my computer. I have to print stuff out. I'm going to print this out.
This might be a keeper.
In terms of intelligence flow from Trump team to Russia, source E reported that much of this concerned the activities of business oligarchs and their families' activities and assets in the U.S., which was Putin and the Kremlin seemed preoccupied. That's number four. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Why? Why did we smarten up Trump? And here's the next question. Since this stuff was circulating, but the journalists, the professional journalists, decided not to publish it, will any of the professional journalists ask the dumbass about it if he ever has a press conference?
That's why he hasn't had any press conferences. Oh, here's his new story on Raw Story. Trump lawyer shoots down allegations of golden showers intel report.
Meanwhile, Scott and Punky just sent a note. Subject line, new perversion revelations about Trump. Finally, a chance to watch some of the Trump supporters be disappointed. That shaft of gold in a world of darkness they thought he represented is just piss.
Right on.
You remember years ago when all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, yada, 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 got all upset about an art piece by Robert Mapplethorpe called
Yes.
Piss Christ?
Yes.
I think our incoming president just turned into Piss Trump. Donald J. Piss Trump.
Hey, you know what? No wonder his preoccupations with pissing on people and pissing people off. What is it that's better to be pissed on than to be pissed off than pissed on? So I guess he just really likes to be. Oh, that's just. Now let me tell you. Well, I don't know what the going rate is in Russia for golden showers, but back in my day of doing what I had to do. That was at least $500 an hour. Uh-huh. So then you got to wonder, like, how much money has he spent? How much, oh, my God, I can't wait until Jan.
You know, I'm an old DJ. I am so close. I am so close to, Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, let's just do this and get it out of my system, shall we?
Do it.
Okay, because I gotta.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes. Smiles awake you when you rise. and I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way.
I mean, you just knew he was a kinky son of a bitch, didn't you? I mean, didn't we all?
We knew.
Didn't we all just know that that was one serious fucking perv?
We knew. It wasn't. See, again, these are those things that do not surprise people like us because we knew that there was issues with him. Like, you know, back when I was a dominatrix, it was not about sex. It was just because this is something I fell into because of my unfortunate time with, you know, the criminal injustice system, and I lost my job. So I had to do something to, you know, take care of myself and my son. And I just asked, I don't know how, you know, somebody was telling me about it in the chat room. And next thing I know, there's an ad on Craigslist and blah, blah, blah. And next thing I know, I have 20 high paying clients that kept me from having to worry about working for 2 years. Well, I did work. That was work. Because being a dominant, it was not me. It was, as much as I like being in charge and stuff like that, to have to be like that all the time, it was exhausting. I actually was asked, you know, a couple of guys asked me to marry them because they thought that's what they were going to get all the time. And I'm like, no, and these were rich, very rich white men. But I just could not see myself in that role all of the time. It's fucking exhausting. Now, for people who, that's their lifestyle, that's a whole different thing. But it wasn't mine because I'm pretty much a loving, caring, and thoughtful person. And to, you know, have to perform, because, you know, don't get it twisted. It's not the dominatrix that's in charge. It's the sub, because the sub is getting done to him what he's basically telling her what he wants her to do to him. And that was something that I did. You know, I did enjoy beating white men's asses. Don't get it twisted. I mean, it was great. It's so funny because when Jan and I were, when she first moved in with me and she saw some of my outfits, because I had forgotten to hide them, and my bag of tricks. Oh, Jesus, that was a conversation. Think about that conversation that I had to explain.
Ooh! Oh wait, I think we've got another song to play. If you've got
oh,
a
song. No. Oh god, no.
Oh yeah, I got it. No, you're going to love this.
Said rolling around, sitting on doves, counting hours, high on truck, cooling in my Escalade. Man, I'm paid, I got it made. Take me to your special place. Close your eyes, show me your face. I'm going to piss on it. Your body is a porta potty, and I pee your kid. The same when you get a whiff of my Hershey stains. I want to pee in your food. Only thing to make my life complete when I turn your face to a toilet seat. I want to pee on you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'll pee on you. I'll piss on you.
Did Dave Chappelle know he was being a prophet? Or
yes,
is...
he did, because he's Dave Chappelle.
Man.
He...
But by the way, Steve from Georgia Stan let me know. He's already taken to the Twitter machine, and his tiny little thumb immediately hit the caps lock. Fake news! A total political witch hunt!
Oh,
5:19 p.m.
That's all it took. And
man, can you imagine the hissy he threw in the briefing? Somebody is going to have to come out and start talking. Somebody's got to say something. This is one of those moments where the fate of the republic hangs in the balance. Now, but to be fair, Tracy, I want to make it abundantly clear. The sparkle fart powered progressive unicorn pony cavalry. Like, this is not true. I mean, you know, because Putin is a snuggly cuddle bear. You know it, right?
These are the ones, those people are going to be the ones that, well, those are the ones that voted for Jill Stein. And just like, you know, Putin's not that bad. He's awesome. He's absolutely wonderful. Huh, Kimba? Isn't Putin awesome? Kimba's licking my hand because she's like, Mommy, just don't even think about it. We're, you know, this is one of those things.
You're going to get me the begging strips, Mommy? Oh, wait, I'm so sorry. I just did the Trump voice for Kimba. I'm so sorry.
Don't do that. Kimba, no.
Yeah, Devin just pointed out, well, hell, if the Russians release the video, Trump will play it on the Jumbotron in Times Square. Look at how hot my hookers are.
Right. See, this is, like you said, he's the one that said, I can go into, and shoot somebody, and I won't get in trouble for it.
Plurf just pointed out something to me on Twitter. Barack Obama's farewell address just got a little more interesting, didn't it?
Do you think he's going to talk about that?
No.
Damn.
He should.
He should.
George Washington had avoid foreign entanglements. Dwight Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. This might be the last great act of the Secretary of Jesus, Barack. Jesus, Barack, you kind of have to.
You have to. All this dancing around the subject matter that this man is the craziness of what this man is about to do to our country. His message is in 8 minutes. Is it three? Is it what time is it?
Yeah, and I think Keith just put it very succinctly. That puts a new meaning on the phrase "piss on this." The hell does it take to get rid of this POS? The world is really shaking their heads and laughing at us now. This is 10 to the 10th power worse than dim leader ever was or would be. Jesus, people.
It has gone from Jesus Barack to Jesus America.
I'm coming back to it. I don't think I'm going to let go of this anytime soon. Jesus, journalists. Did Joe Scarborough know about it? Did Precious Mika know about it? Journalists have known about this for months. Who knew it? The New York Times, and when did they know it, and why did they sit on it?
And why did they... You know, back to quickly, because I know you got to go to Meryl Streep's speech about the journal, about the press being reporting on this. Where are the journalists? Where are where's Woodward and Bernstein? Where are Woodward and Bernstein?
Well, Bernstein was part of it.
Well, I saw that.
Yeah.
But still, how long is this stuff? With all the technology that we have today, Pete, and like you said, how long is this? No, okay, Kimba. Okay, get down. Mommy's talking to the phone. Okay, mommy has to get kisses. Okay. How long? Why has anybody said? Why are we? Were people so enamored, or did they really think that he was not going to win? That it wasn't necessary to divulge this information.
I'm whipped. I mean,
What is it? Gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked. Yes.
Gobsmacked. I'm gobsmacked, and this whole country's about to get pissed on.
And of course, he bypasses the news media now by just tweeting totally fake news. It's political witch hunt. Did he say that? Did he say that in the confidential briefing?
Nope.
I never did it.
That wasn't me. But there's pictures, Mr. Trump. Wasn't me. That's the guy with the mask. Wasn't me. That's sounding more. Oh God.
Oh. Oh, what's?
I'm so good. I am so good to print all this out and read it. Because, well, after I did my homework, but you have rendered.
I know. Well, I'm not in much better shape.
We're both just like.
And you know what? Yes. Let's make this clear before I start getting emails. Bob, you're not a real progressive because you believe this. I mean, it's all the DNC's fault for like stealing the primary from Bernie. Okay. Don't even send those emails. I believe this because I've had a hunch for freaking months that the Russians owned this fucker.
Well, remember we came to that conclusion, like you said, last year when he wouldn't release his tax returns for two reasons: to see, that the fact that. How broke he really is, or how much money he doesn't have, and how much into the Russians and the Chinese he is. Because, like you said, the U.S. banks are like saying, fuck you, we will never loan you money again, you deadbeat bastard, you. So where is he going to have to get his... He has to go to the loan sharks. And who are the... and this is... I don't know if this is culturally insensitive to say this, but if not Russia, who? As far as giving people money that shouldn't be getting money because of, the VIG.
And, here's a note coming from Ron and Raleigh. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter one whit, Bob. Even if videos surface, nothing will happen. The press, the Congress, law enforcement, no one will do a goddamn thing.
Nope.
I was actually going to finish the program by continuing with audio of Franken, Senator Franken doing a damn good job cross examining Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Third. But this kind of changed everything. Except Ron and Raleigh's probably right. It changes nothing.
Nothing. Again, the people were so. He's just being a guy by grabbing women by the pussy. That's just locker room talk. So what if he had Russian sex workers who are probably, slaves pissing on the bed because it's like, hell, if I had that kind of money, I'd hire a horse to piss on the bed that Barack Obama slept on too. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Tracy, we got to get out of here, dear.
Well, it was a stimulating conversation. Now I'm just going to go take my anti-anxiety meds. Thank you, lorazepam. Got to take one of those and with a glass of wine, so I can kind of forget this conversation has happened.
Well, I'm not going to quite go there, but there may be.
No, I'm just kidding.
There may be a shot of a shot of extremely cheap tequila somewhere in my immediate future. But I am. I'm opening the popcorn bag, and watching Barack Obama's farewell address.
I'm going to tape it because I'm about to go cook dinner. We're having flank steak with roasted bell peppers and asparagus.
Don't forget the parsnips. All right, then. Sounds tasty to me. Take it easy, Tracy. Thanks for a lovely conversation.
Bye now. Bye.
And thanks to Sharon. Thank you very kindly, Sharon. You just took us down to $205 to go. That's a big help. Thank you very kindly. And maybe it'll come down some more over the course of the evening. Sorry, I don't mean to obsess about this, but I saw it earlier on. It's like, what the fuck? But it's kind of weird when you put on, I got the magic eight ball that's cracked on the bottom, and it always says answer hazy, ask again later, and, the silly sleeve spring that shoots out the fifth ace, that kind of thing. Hey, I got nothing. So I'll check in on Barack Obama's speech, and then maybe an hour or so later, I'm going to go see if Malloy's managed not to have an aneurysm over this. Y'all have a good night. Thanks, everybody, for making all of this happen. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky in the chat room. Thank you, News Ninjas. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Hang on tight, y'all, and have a good night. Later.